A second. Good morning, everybody. Can you guys hear me? Any? Hold on, I just wanted to change my background. Thank you. I'm so glad that and I'm thankful that I can participate in the worship with you again, and can share God's word, continue to look at the book of Jonah with you all. This is a very interesting historic story. Actually, we could learn a lot from it, but let's bow our head and before we go into the details, just pray. Thanks. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us, allowing us to keep and continue to worship you together while we are all separate in distance. But your mighty power through technology allowed us to come together to worship and focus on you and bring glory to you, Lord. So just pray for the time that we share together today. Lord, you know the message is from you, and it's not from any human being's voice. So just pray that when I'm an instrument for delivering that message, I also pray at the same time each one of us will directly hear from you, and the Holy Spirit will directly work in our hearts, Lord. So I pray for this time, and I come at this time into your hand, and I pray that, Lord, your name will be glorified, and our hearts will be touched, and our life will be changed, and our relationship with you will also be changed. Thank you, Lord. We commit this time to you again. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So I'm going to share my screen. Oops, sorry. Oops. Need to do this. I need to do something else first. Do you see my slide? Good, thank you. So last time we did talk about the first three verses of Jonah. I kind of give you a background and what is exactly the story or this historic event about. Today we'll give it, a topic of you can run, but you cannot really hide. Hopefully it's something that we can relate to our own life. But if we go back to do a little bit review, the first three verses, in fact, is about a calling from God to Jonah. God realized that the city of Nineveh actually is, the sinful situation. It's like, it's really stink. If you remember what I said, the Bible actually saying that the wickedness has come up before me. That means that actually carry a notion that is really horrible and stink to a point that, God could not really ignore it. So God actually gave Jonah a mission by wanting to send him to Nineveh and give them a chance to repent, by receiving the message. So, but it's very interesting. Like if we remember what I said, like Jonah actually is a prophet, is a real prophet. Is Jonah, I mean the book of Jonah is not just a fiction or a makeup story. He's a real person. And his name, if we look at Bible or names, you know, basically, very often in the Bible, names means a lot to us. So for Jonah, just some recap here, he's a prophet. He's actually the messenger from God to his people. You know, this is the role of a prophet. But Jonah actually means, his name means dove, you know, which signified like a messenger passing on message. If you look at the, you know, the image of dove, you know, in the Bible, it is really strong to carry like a messenger's images, you know. You know, we sometimes very often use the dove to represent the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit also have that teaching, you know, giving message role. He's also a son of Amittai. Amittai means actually truth. So Jonah, in his name and his mission, God ordained him actually as a person to send, to communicate God's truth to his people. Unfortunately, we know that he didn't want to do it for some reason. You know, if we look at the whole four chapters, we know that Jonah didn't really do it, didn't want to do it, because he did not believe the people in Nineveh deserve for God's mercy, because they're just too bad, you know, too horrible. So why I had to go and proclaim mercy from God to them? So this is kind of the idea of Jonah. But when he tried to run away and hide, it's very straightforward from the Bible in the first three verses. There's no negotiation. He didn't even negotiate, or the Bible didn't mention any negotiation with God. He just did his own thing, bought a ticket and go away, you know, and this is him. So what happened when we tried, or when Jonah tried to hide from God or run away from God? So we did mention a little bit last time, as doesn't matter it's Jonah or anyone, when we started to go to run away or hide from God, we basically run into an opposite direction. If you're not going to God, you're going against God, a wrong direction. The devil is happy to assist us, because, you know, it's easy. Like Jonah, okay, if you wanted to run away, that's transport, you know, for you to go. There's a lot of avenues in our world can actually help us run and happily help us to hide and run from God. But running from God actually means our life will going downward spiral. This is kind of the message that I really like us to carry on, to meditate on it. So let's go to the chapter or the passage that we read today. So carry on the first three verses. The Bible continues say that, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm aroused that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargoes into the sea, just wanted to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and asked, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, that we will not perish." Very interesting. I'm not sure if you put yourself into the story, maybe into Jonah's role, would you go to, if you're in a big storm, would you go to sleep? So maybe the question needs to ask is, have you ever been in a storm? Like, I cannot see you right now because, you know, all the screens is blocking me. I just can see my own slide. But ask yourself this question. Have you ever been in a physical storm? I'm not sure if you remember a few months ago in Auckland, there's a tornado, you know, on the 23rd of June. So in just a few minutes, I remember that day I was in a training, and I all of a sudden got the civil defense, you know, message to my phone saying that there's a tornado, so don't go anywhere if you're around that area. So I was actually, I work in Manukau, and I was doing my training in Manukau and very close to this location. And you, if you know my job with victim support, you know, this is actually part of the work that we need to do. So I did, you know, kind of looking at the news and our information. So in that few minutes, you know, that physical tornado, we have in Auckland, like that Papatoetoe area, have 251 properties damaged. 22 were unable to, you know, residents could not go back again, uninhabitable. And 60 have restricted entry, which is damaged. Only 169 were safe to live in. So this is a storm, you know, can the damage or the power of a storm can create or can damage, you know, livelihood or threaten people's life. So if you look at storm, if you further think about storm, what always, you know, related to the word storms, you know, I actually Google it and find some definition. But you can ask yourself, whenever you think about storm, what you actually think of, what words or description could associate with storm. So in my understanding, storm actually is a symbol of chaos, which is very much proved by the tornado in Auckland. Negativity, trauma. You know, can you imagine those they lost their home in that particular event? 250, more than 250 houses were not able to, you know, live anymore or damaged. So can you imagine those people, their house being destroyed, you know, how traumatic, you know, how this become a traumatic situation for them at the moment and future? You know, people always feel that without a shelter, life could be very difficult, miserable, difficulties, unpleasant, tragic, scary, uncertainty and fear, you know, weaknesses, a weakness, eruption of the emotions, darkness, risk, change, depression, pain, helpless, hopeless, out of control. I don't think you would disagree on all this description related to storm. So Jonah and the people on the boat, they actually come across a big storm. That storm was actually caused by God, because God knew Jonah didn't want to take the mission. He wanted to hide and run away. God created a storm and stopped Jonah to run away from his mission. So if you look at, you know, the scripture again, it says that Lord sent this great wind of the sea and such a violent storm. So it's not just a little storm, it's a violent one. And the ship threatened to break up. You know, put yourself in this particular context or scenarios. How would you feel? Would you feel all the description that I just, you know, use it for the storm? And then the crew, you know, with the boat, they all become very threatening and they were so afraid. You know, verse 5 saying that all the sailors were afraid and each cry out to their own God. And then they threw the cargoes into the sea to lighten the ship. So everybody taking the action, you know, by the physical action, their own strategy, you know, to throw the cargoes into the sea, hopefully the ship will stay stable. And then they pray to their own God, whoever God that they believe, they pray to the God. So they were actually taking action, trying to save themselves. I actually think that's quite normal. If that happened to me, I would probably, I'm pretty sure that I would do the same. But let's look at another question. Like, what would you do if you are in a storm? This is a very interesting question. I like you to think about that. And another question is, there's two actions in the boat. One is related to the crew. Another is related to Jonah. Jonah actually slept through the whole process. He slept through a perfect violent storm. And the crew actually challenged him, how can this be? How could you just sleep, you know, hiding under the deck and sleep? This is what the scripture said. You know, it said all the sailors was afraid, but then Jonah had gone below the deck, lied himself down, and fell into a deep sleep. The captain challenged him and said, how can you do that? Call on your own God. At least call on your own God. Hopefully, you know, the higher power could save us. The irony is, the sailors, you know, the crew, call on God and ask Jonah to call on his God. Jonah is a prophet. Is that interesting? He's a prophet. He should be the first one to call on the true God that he believed. But instead of doing that, he refused to call on his God. He chose to sleep, ignore the situation, isolate himself as he was spiritually actually running away from God. What is Jonah's deep sleep telling you about him? What is possible, or what made Jonah had gone to sleep rather than tackle the storm, or rather than try to save himself? I don't know what is your answer, but this is what I kind of come up, you know, in looking at Jonah's role. You know, in this context is Jonah, but in our situation, you know, if I apply, you know, Jonah had gone to, you know, had allowed him to, you know, fall into a deep sleep, it's kind of to me that is a little bit avoidance of the actual problem or the actual situation. You know, he might not actively running away, but he definitely hiding and passively ignore God because the mission that he did not want to take. You know, falling into a deep sleep, in fact, is creating a very false sense of security to yourself, or Jonah is creating that to himself. I'm okay, you know, just isolate his own mind and his own situation from everything else. So creating a very false sense of security under the deck so he could sleep, you know, picturing or ignoring the reality, that's a very false sense of security for himself. And it's a way to escape problems. Isolating your mind, as I said before, from the reality so that you don't have to resolve the problem. Jonah basically is saying to God, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. Leave me alone. Does it sound familiar? My question to you directly right now is, do you choose to go for a deep sleep in a storm of your own life? We talk about physical storm, but in fact, the most harmful storm or the storms that most affecting us is not physical storms. Because physical storm probably not affecting everybody or happen once in a while. Yes, when it happened, it caused a lot of damages. To me, our spiritual storm or the storm that in your heart, in fact, is the most damaging and most threatening situation. Have you ever felt the description that I put on the word storms happen in your own life? Have you ever felt that life situations very often can be like a storm? You feel isolated, you feel hopeless, you feel helpless, you feel you have no options, you feel things are very negative, you know, you feel there's a lot of uncertainty. You don't know about the future. You don't know what the future holds. When I said that, I have to say, if I'm correct, many of us are feeling that at this moment. I think the name of COVID, the almighty COVID that our government or the world putting on us, creating, how should I put this? Extremely difficult storm in our life. We, you know, beside all the normal storms that we actually come across with us, with our education, with our career, could be with your, you know, your loved one, your parents, you know, all relationships, all futures. But what is your choice, or what would you do usually when you face storm in your own life? When we run away from God, we actually put everyone around us in danger. This is the first one. Like when Jonah was so adamant, so determined to ignore God and hide himself under the deck and not addressing, you know, the physical problem and challenge. In fact, he's putting people in the same boat in danger. This is what happened to the crew, to the sailors. You know, it become a time when we run away from God, or when we try to hide ourselves from God and ignore the situation that we actually need to look at, we become so self-centered. We become the universe just about you, me. And we forgot what we actually ignoring, or being so self-focused. You know, when the situation like this, we ignore everybody around us that actually affecting by our decision. And we were putting those people, could be our families, could be our loved one, could be even yourself, in danger. That's what Jonah's story trying to tell us. And that's the message God trying to tell us. You know, look at what Jonah's response to the captain or to the sailors. You know, the Bible said, then the sailor said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is actually not responding. I mean, who is actually responding to this crazy storm coming to us? And then they cast lots. You know, in the old day, casting lot is actually the way to find a divinity, like define message to know what is exactly happening. So this is what the sailor did. And they eventually find out Jonah was the one. And then they questioned Jonah. And then they said that, so they asked him, you know, tell us, where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And then Jonah answered, this is actually quite interesting too. He answered, I am a Hebrew. And I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who make the sea and the dry land. And this terrified, you know, all the sailors in the boat. And they asked, what had you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sailor was really, really traumatized. They asked one question, what have you done? This is actually a response to all his bizarre action. Isolate himself, sleep through the whole situation, not even care about anyone in the boat, could lost their life because of his decision. Jonah's response, I would say, is a request of euthanasia. You know, it's interesting. He said, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord who created the sea and the universe. You know, he's honest about that, and he has no problem to admit that. It's just like us. I'm a Christian. You know, I worship the Lord, but I just don't do his things. You know, it's actually Jonah's story represents a lot of common response for us to God. But this is interesting. He said to the crew, just pick me up and throw me into the sea. He replied, and it will become, the sea will become calm. But he know actually what caused the storm. He know this is from God. He ignored it. But when he need to resolve it, he cannot run anymore, at least to the people around him. He suggests, just throw me into the sea. You know, to me, can you imagine about that decision? He's quite determined. You know, if you look at the scripture, he's actually quite determined. He did not offer any other option. He did not offer that, okay, I'll pray to God now. No. He requested euthanasia, ask other people to actually kill him. You know, if this, you know, the crew really, well, we know that the crew actually threw him into the sea. But even though the sea became calm, save the people in the boat. Would Jonah know that he would be safe into a big ocean? Do you think he would believe that he could save himself? I probably don't think so. But the crew has no choice. They felt that they have no choice. So they did throw Jonah into the ocean. They cried out to the Lord and say, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us into accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you please. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And this raging sea grew calm, and the man greatly feared God, and they offer sacrifice to the Lord and make a vow to him. When I studied the book of Jonah again and again, I fell in love with this story because it just so many messages to us. You know, after all, it's not about us. You know, God actually just wants us to be obedient and do his work. But whether people would be saved is God's power and God's word. You know, look at this particular context. Jonah refused to go to Nineveh, and he had gone into this boat to run away, trying to run away far, far away from God. The crew in this boat, they all call out to their own God in the beginning of the storm. But what happened due to Jonah's rebellions or disobedience, they actually come to know the Lord. They came to know the Lord. Is that amazing? What is it telling you? What this part of the event tells you about Jonah? He knows God. He acknowledged God's divinity and as a creator. He has no shame, however, to tell people who he is and what he's doing. He has no problem to admit that the whole crazy events is about him. He has very little concern about people around him, yet he has no intention of turning around and ask God for forgiveness. No intention. You don't see that at all at this stage. He has no intention to return and obey God. He has no intention to do God's mission. He would rather end his life. Do you see Jonah in you? Do you see Jonah in you? Like, when people read the book of Jonah, we might feel that, wow, so bizarre. You know, when there was a big, crazy storm, violent storm, but Jonah can, Jonah could go and just fall into a deep sleep. I remember years ago when I started my full-time ministry in Canada. Most of my time was working with youth. I got a girl came to talk to me. She said to me that she started to explore or prayed about to establish a relationship, a courting or dating relationship with another brother in the fellowship, the youth fellowship. But one thing, when she came to me, she felt she was actually quite frustrated. She didn't know whether this relationship will be continued just because one thing. I mean, not one thing, but the most important thing that really challenged her is she said to me, Pastor Grace, I just didn't know what to do, or I didn't really know if I could carry on this relationship because who am I, like say John as a name, because every time when problem comes or John facing some problem, he just go to sleep. And I remember I was having a little laugh in my heart myself. But very interesting that I find out when I pay more attention on life, or when I started to have a lot of more conversation with people in ministry, I find out that when problem comes, like going to sleep, or just force yourself to sleep, in fact, it's quite common for us to deal with or to look at problems or to avoid problems or avoid practically addressing problems. I don't know if that happened to you. You know, of course, in terms of self-care, we need rest, you know. It shouldn't be allow the problems to harm us or, to create anxiety or even more stress on us. So we should have enough rest. But what I'm talking is not about rest. It's about on purpose to go to sleep, but not doing anything. When we're facing storm in our own life. Jonah is not typical. He's actually showing some of the human nature. Do you see Jonah in you? Do you see that you try different ways maybe to avoid God to confront your situation. Maybe you know that you're actually going to a very direction that you know from your heart is not what God wants you to go, or not pleasing God at all. But you try different avenue to isolate yourself from God, to deny the situation, create your own false security. You just don't want God to deal with you. By your action speak louder than your voice. You're actually telling God, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you now. Just leave me alone. What would you do if you were God? If you were God and looking at Jonah's situation, this will be more examined when we come to next time. I reflect on Jonah's story and our current situation. I have to say, life, in fact, is not easy. The world tells us that we could create our easy life. If you have this, if you have that, if you have, you know, your education, then you, you know, your education would promise you a good work. And if you have a good work, then the good work will promise you prosperity and a good future. And when you make a lot of money, you can have this and you can have that. And then you can have your own security for the future. So all of us actually pursuing what the world have been telling us. And I think the situation COVID, I hope, is creating different reflective moments for us. Somehow it's no longer about, well, maybe put it this way. The world's starting to tell us, when you're pursuing what the world is telling you to pursue, and the world is telling us right now, in fact, it's not really about your choice. You want to make a choice, but I'm not happy to give you a choice. That is actually what we are facing right now. Where you can hide and where you can run to. I wanted to add a little bit more reflection here. Have you ever thought about the storm, which is very violent in this picture, and the oceans or God's action look like God is very dominant, you know, very determined not let Jonah run away from him. Yes, as we said, or as the topic I said, he can hide, but he could not really run because God has a will on her. But guess what? If we know the story, the storm is not only for keeping Jonah running. The storm actually creating mercy for Jonah, to creating a situation that Jonah cannot run anymore, but need to face him and need to reflect on his own decision and his own mindset. My conclusion to you is, the songs that we sung this morning, or almost every single worship songs that we sing, it's about you, Lord. Lord, you are the focus of my life. That's what we always said. We said, God, you love me. God, you forgive me. God, you protect me. God, you nurture me you have the best plan for me. That's nothing wrong. That's biblical. However, I think we also run into a little bit challenge here. When we think about God, when we say that, you know, God, you are my focus, but in fact, our life is telling God, we are actually God's focus. You know, I come to you because you bring all the benefits to me. In fact, me and you believe that we are actually the focus by action. What happens if you find a time that God no longer fulfills what you want? What happens if you find a time that God wants you to do something that you don't like to do? Will you still say that, God, you are my focus? Jonah came to a very challenging and self-centered decision, like many of us. But I'd like to conclude to say that God's mercy is not just for you alone. God's love is for the world. And God wants everybody to have a chance to repent, just like he wants the city, the people in the city of Nineveh can repent. Ultimately, our life is not about us. It's not about you, but it's about me and you bringing glory back to God. God is the center. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I have to say that my encouragement to you or my challenge to you for the so-called pandemic that we're facing or political situation that we're facing, if you put all your focus on yourself and want God to fulfill all your needs, probably that's a little bit wrong direction. I would really encourage us together as a body of Christ to continue to believe that it's not about me. Yes, I'm in the storm, but my life is for the purpose to bring glory to you, Lord. So even I'm in a storm, you can calm the storm for me. Not for me to run away, but I trust in you and I will bring all glory to you. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everybody of us. I know that the time that we're facing is not an easy time. But I pray that, Lord, you will help us to really fix our eyes on you. Change direction. Redirect us from looking at our own needs, but looking in you, Lord, the God of love. And the God of everything that I need. But it's not just for me, because by trusting that, it's for me to bring all glory to you, Lord. I pray that, Lord, help us. It is a time of trouble, but it is also the time for us to strengthen our faith, to be bold and encouraged, and be bold and be courageous to do what we believe to do, to stand up for what we believe, for your glory, Lord. Thank you for the time that we share. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Grace, for your sermon this morning. We now have our usual time for responsive sharing. So I'll just share my screen. So I'll just give a couple minutes just for everyone to reflect and think about how God has spoken to you this morning. And if that's where the Spirit leads you, and if you're comfortable, then please put your name in the chat or just unmute yourself. And it'll be good to hear some sharing.